Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
People.
And isn't it funny to watch them, all these people who got laid off, want you to feel bad for them, even though they've been calling for people to get fired, most of them have, for years.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
But that's different. I think it's what one of them said. Well, I know that we've always been sitting here saying they should fire this coach and this player and this guy, and they should fire that guy, and they should do this. But it's different now that we've gotten fired.
Right. You got to re-say all that. All right. Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. This is really loud. Mm-hmm. Is it really loud for you?
A little bit, but that's all right.
Hey, let's start over again. Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And we're back. And if you're watching this live, this is it. You'll get to watch it live. But when we're done with this episode on Facebook, it's going to come down. And then the video will be posted on our YouTube channel when this episode's actually posted on the podcast. So we have been on hiatus. And there's a little bit of a reason. there's a little bit of a reason for that. But since right before WrestleMania, we have not gotten together. Some of that was schedule. Mm-hmm. Some of that was just stuff happening. But some of it was, and Mark and I have not discussed this, but we both agree it's been a little bit of a time of mourning for us. Mm-hmm. So, Mark, share a little bit about some – let's talk about our feelings.
How about let's not talk about my feelings?
But let's talk about it. We haven't.
No, like we had this conversation, like as we were gonna start recording a month or two ago, even
right.
Like I haven't really, and I haven't since WrestleMania. I haven't really watched any wrestling because the last guy that I cared about is done,
right?
You know, and I'm not. I was a big Undertaker. Like if I start listing favorites, Undertaker may be number one, as I've thought about it. And for him to, for him to kind of be done, there's nobody left that I really care about anymore.
Right.
On the national stage. You know what I mean? I don't want to watch it. I don't care about Roman Reigns.
Right.
I don't care. Some guys, if I hear a good match took place,
yes,
I'll watch that.
Right.
You know, and I still watch old stuff. But as far as new wrestling, I think I'm done. Like, I'm probably going to cancel the WWE Network.
Yeah.
Because most of the old stuff I like, I either have it on DVD or it's on YouTube or Daily Motion. I can watch it.
Yeah.
I've watched all the old pay-per-views that I really wanted to watch. I mean, off of the network. The TV shows are good. Some of the stuff, the older stuff they put up. But it's all that stuff's on YouTube.
Right.
You know, it's just if you're willing to do a little work and find it.
Right.
I will say we watched, you and I, and we'll be talking about it later, the ECW is Barely Legal, where they took the Sabu Taz thing and kind of showed you everything that happened and then the match. Like, I think that should be the platform for those collections, man. Like, that's,
right.
That was really well done. There's a guy that did that on YouTube with the Hogan Savage.
Right.
The Mega Powers. And he, like, it was not one video, but he took all the videos and compiled them in the order that they took place. So you just hit play on the playlist, and you watch from the moment that Hogan comes out to save Savage from Honky Tonk Man, and it goes all the way through the match at WrestleMania.
Right.
And you see everything that took place, man. Like, that's what I think those collections should be on the network. But I'm kind of done. I'm not into wrestling today. I don't like it, man. I don't like it. I don't care. I don't like seeing, as I told you earlier, it may just be me and Jim Cornette that have this opinion.
Right.
And I'm okay with that. But when Reigns and Strowman are feuding with each other while simultaneously posting pictures of themselves hanging out wherever they were at, sightseeing together. It takes me out of it, and I do care about that stuff.
My problem is that, all right, they didn't post, other people posted pictures. My problem is that they were even together.
Right, right. Does that make me a mark? Yeah, because I never claimed to be anything but.
Right, right.
You know? Like you said the other day, somebody posted, the smart marks will say, oh, those guys back in the 80s were watching this stuff, and they were the real marks. Yeah, we were the real marks, you know, that spent money.
Right.
To watch wrestling.
Yeah.
And the guys who were doing that were the guys that were making money in wrestling.
Yeah.
There will be hundreds of shows this Saturday night.
Yeah.
And nobody's getting rich.
Right. Right. Couple, yeah. Right. Yeah.
And 30 years ago, there'd be hundreds, not hundreds, but I mean, there'd be 10 or 15 shows maybe running.
Yeah.
Every night of the week.
Yes.
Around the country. And people were getting paid.
Because.
So if you like that old wrestling? Yeah. Back when it drew money.
Yeah, I like the old wrestling when I had to buy a ticket to see certain matches.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason I watched Raw and SmackDown after WrestleMania. I wanted to see the debuts. I wanted to see what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Have not watched it since. Because there's nothing that's going to happen, for a couple of reasons, there's nothing that's going to happen on Monday Night Raw that I haven't seen before.
Right.
And if I miss something that's historic, it'll be on Facebook within a few hours.
Yeah, it'll be on YouTube.
It'll be on YouTube. I can go back and watch it on Hulu. I DVR it every week.
Right,
if I miss something historic, I can go back and watch it. But as far as wrestling used to be appointment television. Noon on Saturday, forget everything else in life.
Right.
Noon on Saturday, I'm in front of my TV.
Right.
Watching wrestling. Noon on Sunday, get me home from church as quick as you can.
Right.
Because I don't want to miss wrestling. And it's just not that anymore. And part of that was Dusty Rhodes didn't cut a promo every week on TV.
And he dang sure didn't wrestle on TV.
No. There was somebody posted a video the other day of the Horsemen are doing a promo. And Dusty Rhodes comes out with like 10 people. And he challenges Ric Flair.
Uh-huh.
He's like, and Ric Flair's like, they don't pay me enough to wrestle here.
Right.
And Ric Flair comes out, and him and Dusty Rhodes are going to have this match.
Uh-huh.
And I remember when that happened. And it was like, holy crap.
Uh-huh.
Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes are going to wrestle on TV.
And then you look at your watch and go, wait a minute.
Right.
Huh. It's only an hour show, and we are 58 minutes into it, and they ain't locked up yet. Right. I don't know that I'm going to get to see this match. Yeah.
And it was great.
But it was a different business then. I mean, it wasn't
right.
It wasn't a TV business then. It was a house show business, and now it's a TV business. I get it. But, man, like you just burn people out on seeing – same thing every week.
So my question to you is, because this is the period I'm in, and I just haven't gotten over my WrestleMania slump yet. Is there, you know, whether it's via the High Spots Network and watching PWX or keeping up with PWG or maybe watching.
I'll be honest. Speaking of that, like, I need to get on there and see, like, if they've posted. Do you know if they've posted the James Drake and Jeff Cobb match yet? Have you heard?
Yes, it should
it's
be.
It's on there? Oh, cool, because I've really been wanting to see that.
Because they have been posting their shows faster and faster.
Yeah.
And,
I'm looking forward to seeing that match.
So, is there enough independent wrestling that's not a TV business?
Uh-huh.
Like, you got to go pay to see some of these guys. Because to me, watching it, like even James Drake and Jeff Cobb, if I had been able to, I would have gone to that show.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had a prior engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike some people,
Go ahead.
Well, unlike when we're booked at a place, we honor that booking.
That's right. That's right. I mean, that's just the way it is. I work every other weekend.
Right.
Like, if I was off every weekend, I'd probably go see most of the PWX shows.
Yeah.
I really would. I think they're great. I love watching them on the High Spots Network. I think they've got the business down right where, like, storylines are great in today's era, but when it's kind of just people showing up to watch your shows, they can't really necessarily follow the storylines. I don't think it's a bad thing to have. And they do have some storylines that kind of run through the show.
They have rivalries.
Right. And maybe rivalries is the way to go more than storyline is rivalry. They're doing something right. I'm not coming on here and saying here's how they need to do their business.
No, they're making money.
Yeah, they're making money and they're doing something right. And I like it. Like, I enjoy, like, I'll be honest. And I know that Brian sometimes will listen to these. When we first went, what I expected.
Right.
When I went. Was leg slapping indie.
Yeah.
Is what I thought I was going to see.
Yeah.
And that is not what I saw.
Right.
I saw every match on the card, everybody had a different match.
Yeah.
You know, and I was impressed. And every show that we've been to, and it's only been a few.
Yeah.
But every show that we've been to, it has exceeded my expectations of what I thought I was going to see.
Right.
Even, I remember having this conversation about Sammy Callahan and me saying, I just don't get it.
Like, right.
I don't get Sammy Kyle. I don't get the appeal of what he is until I watched him.
Right.
And I got it.
Right.
Okay. Oh, it's because he's good.
Right.
Like, when you see those guys who have been to WWE.
There's a crispness to their work.
There is something to them that sets them apart from everybody else. And you see why WWE was. Jinder Mahal.
Yes.
Whatever you want to say about the guy. I saw him on an indie show.
Yes.
We saw him on an indie show. And he was head and shoulders, not just head and shoulders, literally taller than everybody, head and shoulders
talent-wise.
I don't know that he was better than everybody on the show, but he may have been.
He had an it factor that there's nobody else on that show had.
He looked like he was too big to be in that ring.
Yes.
And he's the only guy that looked like on that show that looked like he was too big to be in the ring.
Yeah.
That's the only way I can describe it.
Right.
So you can clearly, when you see these guys who have been to WWE on an indie show, you see what WWE saw in them.
And he had a charisma that nobody else had. And, I mean, you and I became fans that night.
Yeah. And I haven't been watching it, but I know there's some controversy about them putting him in the main event picture on SmackDown. I think... Sometimes, because I've tried to talk to people about Roman Reigns, like, why don't you like Roman Reigns? And it seems to be the same with Jinder. It's not that they don't necessarily like this guy or that they didn't want to like him. It's that the story wasn't told properly.
Right.
It was just, all right, here's the guy. He's the main event.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, with Steve Austin, I always go back to him where he shows up and he kind of has this crappy gimmick, and then he turns it around. And then people kind of start getting behind him. And then he calls out Bret Hart. And then Bret Hart doesn't come back to start with.
Yeah.
And it's Bret Hart coming back. And then he comes out. And then Steve Austin confronts him. And then it's this war of words. And Bret Hart because ultimately, at the end of the day, Steve Austin became a star because Bret Hart was already a star.
Yes.
That was... And that's what, to me, has been lost in wrestling, is that there's nobody that's already up here.
Right.
Like, all they're doing with Orton, like, he can't elevate Jinder Mahal.
Yes.
Because Orton's good, but Orton's like a cookie cutter.
Yeah.
He's a main event guy, but he's not larger than life. He's not Bret Hart. He's not Shawn Michaels. He's not Steve Austin. He's not Kurt Angle. He's good, but he ain't great.
Right.
So he can't bring Mahal up to the... And I think that's the issue that people have, is that they don't get the whole story. And it was the same with Reigns.
Right.
I think what people... I've always said, Reigns should have gotten Rollins' spot.
Yeah.
Reigns should have been the guy that turned on the Shield and had this heel run and beat everybody and built him up to where, okay, now I get it. He's kind of a badass, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then you're building Lesnar up, and then, boom, now we can have this thing, and then whatever. But to just throw, okay, now he's the guy. Well, why is he the guy? Well, because we said he is.
Right.
Well, where's the story? Well, there's not a story. He's a guy. I'm told you he's the guy. And I think if they had just, and it's the same with Jinder, everybody, if you just tell the story properly. of how they got there, people would get behind it.
But there's two reasons they can't tell the story properly.
It's because every time somebody gets hot, they get hurt.
Well, okay, three reasons. Every time somebody gets hot, they get hurt. As soon as they finish an episode, they got three more hours to plan for next week. Right. And the people planning it didn't grow up on Hogan Savage.
Right.
They grew up on South Park. True. And they grew up on The Daily Show. Mm-hmm. And they're shooting for a punchline.
That's a good point.
They're writing a late night talk show. Wrestling is a late night talk show monologue now.
Interesting. You're right.
And it used to be Shakespeare.
And while they have the best wrestlers in the world, I believe that the best wrestlers in the world always wind up in WWE. Not always. Always is a strong word. They don't always end up in WWE. But the best TV writers are not ending up. It's the people that are starting their careers.
Right.
That end up there. And I don't know. The point is, I ain't interested in it no more.
Right. And so my thing is, and I've said it on this group before, is there's no need. My life is too short. I got less time on the back end than I've had before me. And my life is too short to watch a product I know I'm not going to enjoy just so I can complain about it. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking out. I'm looking for CWF Mid-Atlantic. I'm looking for the Carolina promotions that are putting their stuff out there. I'm trying to produce a show.
I wondered how long it'd take for you to get to that, boy. Heath is a producer extraordinaire.
You people knew how hard...
that you had to work to tell everybody.
Can I just pull the curtain back? When you're trying to edit a multi-camera shoot and you're doing it on the computer and you got one of your cameras that's out of sync by like a half a second, but just enough where you notice it, just enough where it's getting on your nerves. And in the first 4 minutes of the video, you fix it where it's perfect. But when you fix that, it throws something off at the 17-minute point. It was a frustrating. It's been frustrating. It's frustrating sometimes. I'm trying to learn how to do all this stuff. I don't have somebody like there. I don't have Mark Whitman, you know, directing things as we're going and making sure we got the right shots. You know, I'm just, you know, just a poor country boy. And, you know,
he grew up on a farm.
Grew up on a farm.
On a four wheeler that only had three wheels.
Yes. But no, we didn't even have four wheelers. We had three wheelers.
Okay. Yeah, I remember the three wheeler that used to sit there. It was back when we were smart enough to not flip stuff over on ourselves.
Right. Oh, my goodness. So my dad and my brother, this is probably 6 months ago, maybe longer. There's hundreds of acres there at the farm.
Yeah, on that.
They ran into each other.
That poor humble farm that you grew up on. There's hundreds of acres.
They had a head-on collision.
How?
On four wheelers. They ran in. It was like they didn't see each other. Like, man, how crazy. Do you not see each other? What the crap?
I guess they're figuring. I've got to survey my kingdom of acreage here. And they're not on all of this property. How could anybody possibly be right in front of me? I don't need to pay attention to where I'm going.
But I mean, that's like I said. So let's talk about this. So I'm trying to figure out or think back what hooked 11 and 12 year old Heath and Martin.
Right.
What hooked us? The same thing's not going to work now. No. But I'm trying to find my love for wrestling again.
Uh-huh.
Because, like you said, Undertaker retiring is the end. It's the end of an era. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, it really is, man. It is.
And again, I'm just saying. Right now, I probably will watch the next pay per view. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't.
I won't.
You know. I do want to see Nakamura wrestle on pay-per-view. you know? I kind of wanted, and the takeover card looks good, whatever. But I'm trying to find the wrestling. It may be like something like Chikara.
No, I know where the wrestling I like is at. It's on my DVD shelf.
Right.
And it's on YouTube, and it's from 20 years ago and 30 years ago. That's what I like.
Right.
So that's right. What I watch. Well, like, I'm not – WWE doesn't need to worry about the guys who watch Raw every week,
right.
Watch every pay-per-view, buy 30 T-shirts a year.
Right.
And buy the network and get on Twitter and complain. That's not who they need to worry about.
No.
They really do need to be more concerned with the guys like me and you.
Yeah.
With the disposable income.
Right.
Who have said, I'm done.
Right. No, I agree with you.
And not made a big deal about it.
No.
And just walked away and canceled their network and quit watching their program.
Listen, WWE would care more about us if every podcast were bashing Mark in the first segment of Monday Night Raw. They did this promo, and I just didn't think Maryse was very believable in what she said. And right. Mark, what do you think? And to critique every, oh my goodness.
Why would I want to do that? As I told you, I decided, it was right after WrestleMania, it was a couple of weeks. I said, I'm off. It's Monday night.
Right.
I don't have anything going on. Let me see what's going on. I cut the TV on. And I kid you not, you couldn't have scripted it better. That I cut the TV on, flipped on Raw, and the Miz was walking down the aisle, and I said, "That's it."
And what's weird now?
This small child.
And what's weird now is with so many people, the Miz is getting over now more than he's ever been.
Because he's silly, as I said. If he's silly,
this is true.
And that's what they like. If Jinder Mahal's gimmick was being a nerd, and he was 5'8",
right.
And he didn't have all those muscles,
right.
And he'd been in Ring of Honor for 6 years, and he could cut flips, he'd be the biggest thing in the world right now.
You got a point there.
I know I got a point there. That's what people like. People like Adam Cole. Adam Cole's like 5'3".
He is my height, yeah. For sure. That's a shoot.
When I saw you stand next to Red Dragon, and you were taller than them.
Yeah. I'm taller than Bobby Fish.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
But that's the difference between you and I. And we talked about this in the Patrons Only group, is you grew up physically.
Right.
To where the men you used...
You grew up mentally.
But you and I viewed wrestling different.
Mm-hmm. True.
Whereas you I don't want to put words in my mouth, but you see Adam Cole and you're like, I'm not even giving this guy a chance. Where I'm like, hey, I'll watch Adam Cole. I got his DVD.
Right. And I've always liked Big Van Vader.
Correct.
Undertaker, Bruiser Brody, Stan Hansen, whoever. Right. Guys who look like they could actually beat somebody up.
Right.
That's who I like.
Yes.
I don't like 5'7" metrosexuals.
Right.
I'm not the target demographic for that.
Right, right. So maybe we need to, start like a super, instead of 205 live, 255 live.
405
live. 405 live. Yeah, I mean, I think you said it earlier in the patrons group, wrestling has changed and... So there's, in some ways, we're going to have to change with it.
Yeah, absolutely. But like when you hear like me talking about the big dudes I like, what do they have in common? Brody was agile.
Yes.
Vader was agile.
Yeah.
Bam Bam Bigelow was agile. The Undertaker was agile.
Yeah.
These guys could go.
Right.
They could go.
Right.
You put Big Van Vader in his prime in WWE today, what you going to do with him?
Right.
Book him right. Bruiser right. Brody, Stan Hansen, any of those guys, put them in WWE today and tell me that you believe that they got anybody that could get in the ring. Aside from Lesnar and whether people like it or not, Roman Reigns. He ain't going to put in the ring.
That's
with,
one reason.
With Stan Hansen and anybody believe they could actually beat him up.
Right.
Samoa Joe.
Right.
Look at Samoa. Like, has Samoa Joe been on TV much?
Yes.
What's he doing now?
He's just kind of on there every week.
Do you believe anybody could actually whoop him?
Mm-mm.
So they put him in the ring with guys. It's not believable.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It ain't.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. You are correct, sir. You're right. So for me, when you people talk about the Attitude Era, whatever, PG era, but for me, that iconic shot of at the end of WrestleMania of the overcoat and the hat and the gloves, that was almost like the end of our childhood. Not the end of our childhood.
I think he pretty much left me being a mark in the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I mean, really, that's how I felt.
Right.
As I was watching it, like, this will, like, that's representative of me being a wrestling fan as well. Because I'm done.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so, like, for me, something's got to change. WWE's not going to change. So I've got to change and find something else to watch.
Yeah, I don't have to change. As far as what I like in wrestling, I don't have to change that.
No.
I just started watching baseball again.
No, that's right. We did talk about that. We're getting old, man. We're getting old. We're like old farts now or something.
I just started watching real sports again. I used to be a huge sports fan.
Yeah.
And over the past few years, I've kind of stopped watching.
Right.
And the other week, I just was like, man, let me watch SportsCenter. You know?
Yeah.
And go,
yeah.
And just was like, man, I really like sports. Okay.
Yeah.
I like baseball. I like football.
So I love watching.
I wish I liked basketball. I understood basketball.
I love watching the NBA playoffs. Mm-hmm. But I turned the game on last night, Celtics and Wizards.
Uh-huh.
We're recording this May 11th, 2017. And they're in game five. It's a pivotal game. I didn't know anybody. I turned that game on.
Right.
I knew John Wall for the Wizards. I knew Isaiah Thomas for the
Is there a relation with the real Isaiah Thomas?
I'm going to be honest. I don't think so, but I don't know. Because okay. I just don't know. I don't know any of these people.
Yeah, I don't either. The guy with the beard, the black dude with the beard, what's his name? I think he plays for the Rockets.
But James Harden.
Yes, I like him, man.
Yeah.
I like that guy.
Yeah.
Like I said, I wish I understood basketball. I know that there's more to it than dribbling because I played a little bit like growing up.
Yeah.
I remember running some plays and stuff, but
yeah.
I don't understand it. But I wish I did because it's an exciting game. I was reading an article about it was in Sports Illustrated. About baseball, and that, like, in a 3-hour game, the ball's only in play for like 20 minutes.
Right.
And, like, what you're really watching for, and it kind of goes to what you and I do, what you're really watching for is for the commentators.
Yeah.
To listen to them.
They
have to have a good rapport with each other.
Right.
They have to be really good because it's a lot of filling time.
I think you and I could right now, in 10 minutes, they could say, "All right, call this football game." You and I could do it. Call this basketball game. You and I could do it.
Uh-huh.
Call this because we just have rapport.
Mm-hmm.
Put on a game. Put on a game. A foreign. Put on a soccer game.
Cricket.
Put on cricket. You and I could call cricket. Not know any of the players. Not know the rules. And we could make it exciting. We could make it work.
I think so, yeah.
But you go back. You know, sports. Sports has changed. I mean, you talk about wrestling, you should draw every night of the week. Baseball, you should draw every night of the week.
Oh, yeah, man.
And you look, there's a Twitter account called just Empty Seats or something. And it just shows, you know, how few people are at the games. And there's just nobody there. And again, outside of, you know, college football and some NFL, there's nobody there. And so the entire sports industry in the next 10 years is going to have a huge it's going to be a huge we've said it before, the reason WWE is successful is they're in a different town every week. Mm-hmm. And when they come to your town, it's maybe once, twice a year, or once every 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. So you're going to go. It is a spectacle that you're going to go to. But if WWE was just running the Northeast, it would not be drawing.
It used to.
Yes. Yes, it used to.
Like Bruno, how many times did he sell out the Garden in a row?
More than anybody else.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
How many how many times did Jerry Lawler sell out the Mid-South Coliseum?
Oh, it's an incredible. Like we were talking about, I think I told you this story where Flair was coming in, and he was supposed to have a match with Bill Dundee.
Yeah, yeah,
and Bill Dundee decided at some point, because Lawler was out, like he didn't have anybody to feud with, so he had a match with Coco Beware on TV.
Yeah.
And it was for the title shot against Flair.
Yeah.
And Coco beat Dundee.
Yeah.
And Flair and Dusty got to the building because Dusty was there that night.
Right.
And they were hot, like, because Flair got in the cab, and they were like, man, how are you going to do against Coco Beware tonight? He's like, what are you talking about? I'm supposed to be working with Bill Dundee or wrestling Bill. I'm sure he didn't say working. I'm wrestling Bill Dundee. No, Coco Beware beat Bill Dundee on TV the other day to get the shot at you, or this morning maybe even.
Yeah.
It could have been. And Flair was hot. Like, he was livid, and Dusty was livid. Like, we agreed to this match with Dundee, and then Dundee explained it to him that if you and I have a match and we have a draw, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You're leaving. You're leaving town. But if you have this match with Coco and he almost beats you and I come out and cost him the title, the next week I can work with Coco.
Yeah.
And we can, and it set off a program with Coco Beware and Bill Dundee to fill the time with Jerry Lawler being gone.
Right.
Because that's the way wrestling used to be done.
Yeah.
And it was that simple. There wasn't Bill Dundee. His ego was in check.
Right.
And he said, hey, it'd be great to get
Bill Dundee.
Right.
One of the greats.
Yeah, like it would be great to have this match with Flair, but is it really what's good for the business? Is it what's good for Memphis for me to have, or is it better if I give that shot to Coco? And then Coco understood why he didn't need to beat Ric Flair.
Right.
Because that's what the champion did, man.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's
so for a wrestler.
That's how wrestling's done.
Right. Is when you're
why Memphis used to draw money.
Right, right. Cuz some of Lawler's best drawing was when he was under. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
When he would feud and guys would get the best of him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean not looking like you look like the tough guy at the end.
Yes.
That's when you look.
You got to see the big picture.
Your hand right.
Yeah. But
up till then, you don't have to always be the tough guy. You can,
right?
Like Dusty, even it was John Wayne fighting up the hill, and he shot in the leg, and he shot in the arm, and he got bit by a rattlesnake. But at the end, when John Wayne made it to the top of the hill, he was the hero,
right?
You know, and that was Dusty Rhodes would get his arm broke in a parking lot, whatever, because in the end. The end result was that he gets to be the hero.
What's crazy about wrestling now is we would say, man, you know, 50-50 booking is what killed wrestling. But then when guys are laying things out, it's 50-50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they'd be the first ones to say, 50-50 booking killed wrestling. Hey, let's book wrestling 50-50.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure I get to do all my stuff. I've said it before, like, guys, you want to have a good match. Getting to do all your moves is not what makes a good match. I'm sorry.
Right.
It's not.
Yeah.
Go back and watch some of the greatest matches in history and tell me that everybody got to do all their cool moves.
Yeah. Two of my favorite guys in wrestling right now, and I don't want to admit, but two of my favorite guys, they're both older, and we've had the opportunity to work with them. And I couldn't tell you. I've seen these guys work 10, 12 times. Couldn't tell you what their signature moves are. Couldn't tell you what their finishers are.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't tell you any of that. But I'll pay this. I'm paying.
They get a reaction.
They get a great reaction.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
They get a great reaction.
Why would we not put them over? Why did you want to say their names? So you're not talking bad about them.
Right, but it's the Sons of Steel.
Yeah.
Bryce and Boomer.
They're great guys.
I'm paying to go to their show Saturday night.
Yeah. If I was off, I probably would.
And here's the thing. I've seen him work heel and baby.
Uh-huh.
Entertaining.
I saw him have a match with, they go by AWOL now.
Delta Squad.
Delta Squad.
Yeah.
Everybody in the building was going nuts because it was a simple match. They took two bumps. Everybody in the place is going nuts.
Yes.
One of them played the role of the strong heel.
Yeah.
The other were the strong baby faces. They cheated. They used a chain because we're in upstate South Carolina in podunk towns, and that's when people like that kind of stuff, man. There's always a place for you don't want to run a whole card of that match, but to me, there's always a place for that match on a card.
Right.
To me.
Right.
When I said, I'm always cool with having a match like that on the card.
Yeah, to me.
That's me as a fan when I go watch.
Right. Oh, good night. Oh,
I love it.
If I'm,
and I'll play my role, man.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I love the Sons of Steel, man.
Did I tell you about.
Who hears it and who knows it?
Did I tell you that we went to wrestling in Georgia? We went to SWA. And you and I used to go to SWA in Westminster at the Outlaw, at the old racetrack.
I love Outlaw wrestling. It's like watching a bad movie.
It is.
You know, it's a great.
So the first match, we get there. And it's me and Drake, and it's not good.
Right.
Okay. But the whole row, there's like a pew up against the wall. And it's all this kid's family, and he's in the opening match. So I'm immediately, I'm pulling for the other guy.
Right.
So the very first thing, I'm like, ref, he's pulling his hair. Oh, my goodness. No, he's not. He ain't doing it. Ref, don't listen to him. And they're... And it was great.
I love it, man.
It was great, man. And it was like not even a star. It didn't even get any stars. Not a half star, not a quarter star, not a third star. But it was fun.
It was fun, yeah, man. And if wrestling's, that's the key, man. If wrestling's fun, that's all I want.
Right.
Just be fun, man.
And I couldn't tell
it's
you.
It's not fun for me right now.
Right. No, yeah. Like, what's fun for me is... What's fun for me, okay, and I would like to end the show with this. What's fun for me, what's satisfying for me, is when I say to my son, hey, do you want to go to this wrestling? And he says, is it like yours? I'm like, no. He's like, no, I want to go. I don't want to go. He says, if it's like yours, I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man. And this whole time, my son was at the last show we did, and I thought he was on his iPad the whole time, and it turns out, he's like, Dad, why did this guy do this? And he was paying attention.
Right.
And
you're the producer of that.
Cue Cat Stevens' Father and Son song. If you haven't downloaded the Volume 2 soundtrack, Guardians of the Galaxy.
I love that song anyway. When it started playing, I was like, it's brilliant. Like, I couldn't believe they.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. Hey, we're back. Speaking of Volume 2, this is Double Drop Kick Volume 2. It's a new start. It's a new day. This was a little downer episode.
Yes, it is.
So
you're looking at me like
so. You're listening to this on May 15th is when this episode's being released. We're recording it live on Facebook Live, but it's coming down. As soon as we're done, it's not going to be posted. I guess I need to read the comments.
Right. Well, we may look at the comments and address it later. Like, we have not...
We haven't been watching the comments because it's too far away.
We're actually recording the podcast, so we're not going to be answering any questions. If you're on later and you make comments, not that we don't appreciate it.
We're just not going to
be answering anything.
We especially appreciate our patrons who got two... Great episode this morning so that was really good. DoubleDropKick.com.
Got some dirt. I promise you got some dirt that you won't hear anywhere else.
Yes. Oh, nowhere else. So you got a scoop, and then you just got me and Mark talking
crap for.
So man, Double Drop Kick
piss, man.
Yeah.
If I don't, I'm gonna be smelling like you in elementary school here for long.
Pete Brown. All right. DoubleDropKick.com. I'm on Twitter at Heath Mulliken.
I'm at the DDK Show.
Become a patron at patreon.com/doubledropkick. Support the show, and you get to be part of a Facebook group. But we're back. And so if you're listening to this on Monday, we're getting ready to record our thoughts on ECW Barely Legal on their first pay-per-view.
But
What?
It's almost 11:30. Somebody promised me KFC buffet.
This is a true statement.
I don't know why you chose KFC buffet, but it made me happy.
So anyway, yeah, there you go. So for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.